Praise God. Praise God. All right. Did you enjoy the Word of God today? Praise God. We thank God for Christ, for the Word of God. And then this morning, we back in Psalms, the 73rd chapter of Psalms 73, and down in verse 20, Psalm 73 and verse 20, if you will turn your Bibles right there. Is it Psalm 70 and verse 20? Very beautiful scripture. I'm trying to find that in 73. All right, verse 20. Okay, yeah, no, I'm there. Psalms 73, verse 20. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt, and this is the part, thou shalt despise their image. When God doesn't sleep, we know that. So it's speaking about when the day of resurrection, when God awakes, that is the day of the Lord, His day. So when God awakes, the day of the Lord comes, then he will despise their image. If they're still in the image, that same image, you know, the one that you were born with. David, hold your finger. David in Psalms, in the 51st chapter of Psalms, it gives you the image of man in Psalms chapter, is it 51 or 50, where David said he was born in sin and in iniquity. He was shapen in iniquity. That would be Psalms, yeah, okay, Psalms 51, verse 5. 51, verse 5, let's read. Let's read a little bit from the top. Have mercy, Psalms 51, verse 1. Okay. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. See, you need to, this is what need to happen to us to get us out of this image that we were born with. God must have mercy in us. Okay, his loving kindness. That's Paul said, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. Listen to the scriptures. Blot out, according to your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Then here's what he has to do. Wash me. Wash me. We have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Wash me from mine iniquities. But how does he wash us? What does he wash us with? With his, the word, with the blood. The washing of water by the word. You're asking God to wash you from your transgressions, from your sins. The way that you came into this world, you cannot leave that way. We have to be washed. And unto him, Revelations chapter 1, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. When he washed you, you're delivered from our sins. So wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. This is true repentance, when God has to do the work You cannot do it. It's not by work of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. He saves us by the washing of regeneration. You have to be washed in the blood. Sin will destroy us. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but there is forgiveness with God. God will forgive you, but God has his part, and you and I have our part. Our part is to repent. The Bible said, John says, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That was the language of the Bible. That was the language of John the Baptist. That was the language of Jesus, Paul, and all of the prophets. When Israel turned to God, there was a blessing. But here, you cannot live in denial as if, well, it's not happening. It's okay. I didn't do it. See? You have to acknowledge it. Don't sweep it under the carpet, because he that cover it, his sin shall not prosper, but it's he that confess it and forsake it. See, God will forgive us all of our sins, but we have to acknowledge it. In other words, acknowledging means that, Lord, when you see that sin, you say, that's mine. That's true. I did that. I'm guilty, Lord. Don't put it away and say, no, somebody made me do it. Don't even blame it on the devil. The devil made me do it. No, I did it. And here, as we read on, we're going to find David acknowledged it, and he told God the reason why he did it. Do you understand? When Johnny took that cookie, he said, why did you take that cookie? Because I was hungry. You acknowledge it, and he tells God the reason why you did it. He said, for I acknowledge my transgressions. I'm acknowledging it. That's mine. I did it. Nobody's to be blamed but me. And my sin is always, ever before me. How is it? Because when you sin, as soon as you wake up in the morning, what happens? It comes right up before you. You're going to bed. What comes up? Your sins remind you. You're driving down the road. You don't get a break. You're tormented by your sins. It's a constant reminder that it's there. Sin keep knocking at the door. And you sit down. And not only does it do that, but it produces guilt. Because it shows. There is a face to sin. It shows. And David says, Lord, I'm acknowledging my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. But you want to get rid of this sin. And there's only one way that you can get rid of sin. There's no other way. Only one way that we can get rid of sin. And remember now that we need to, because it has a reward to it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then verse 4. David said, I've sinned, but Lord, it's against you. Against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil, terrible, wicked thing in your sight. You saw me. Don't ever pretend that God doesn't see or God doesn't know. He does see and knows. And David said, I'm acknowledging it, Lord, and it's against you, and you only have I sinned and done this wicked thing in your sight. In other words, God, you were present when I was sinning. I sinned right before you. You know it. You saw it. And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified. See that? Say, Lord, that you, God, might be justified. Because remember now that God... How could a righteous God forgive us of our sins and still remain justified? How could he do that? See, so So David said, I'm acknowledging my sin. So by you acknowledging your sins, by we acknowledging our sins and holding up to our sins and say, that's mine, we are justifying God. God is justified, whatever judgment, and even when he forgives us. Say, Lord, I've done it and I'm wrong, but I'm asking you to forgive me. I accept it. Lord, it's not you. You didn't make me sin. But you're the only one that can forgive me of my sins, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. When you speak and when you judge me. How does he speak? Through the word. The word speak to man. And God, you're justified. And you're clear for judging me. It's all my fault. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, then God judges us. And when you're acknowledging your transgression, you're actually judging yourself. And if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. We will not be judged. How do I judge myself? By saying, Lord, that's mine. And God, the Holy Ghost will never let you forget, because it's written here. And when you read the Bible, it comes right out of you and says, that's you. You remember what you've done and you never repented? That's right, Lord. Well, now would be a good time, child, to repent, wouldn't it? And the Holy Ghost begin to deal with you. And you don't put it off and say, I'm too busy, because you could never be too busy to repent. Nobody. I said nobody is so busy that they don't have time to repent, because your eternal life depends on it. Because nobody knows when they're going to die. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 5. Behold, see, David began to show God now the humanity, the way he was made. In other words, he's saying to God, what do you expect from me? I'm just dust and clay. I'm a sinful man. And by myself, all I know how to do is to sin. I cannot come to you in my righteousness. And David saw his weakness and his fault. He said, Lord, that you're saying that is because there's something in me that doesn't want God. There's something in me that wants to go astray. And in every one of us, there's something that do not want God. Don't want to come close to God. Adam hid himself, didn't he? And David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Lord, my substance. I was cut out of iniquity and sin. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, I don't know if it's saying that his mother and his father was not married. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying my very nature. Amen. My very nature. I inherited from my parents, and they got it from their parents' parents going down. So I got my nature from my natural father. And he got it from his father going down all the way back to the fall of man. So there's something inside of me that loves darkness rather than light, that doesn't want to draw nigh to God. And David said, here's the fault. Here's a reason why I'm doing wrong and I'm sinning. I was shapen, carved out, made out. And the substance that made me was very sinful. I came from the very root of sin and root of bitterness. In other words, God, I came out of the pit. When God dug you out, when God saved you, you were not on top of the mountain. We were in the very depth of sin. Amen. He drew us out of an horrible pit. A pit so deep and so dark that nobody could help us. We tried to do good, but the Ethiopian, the Bible said, could not change his skin, nor the leper his spot. No more can you and I do good by trying. Because everything that's right in the eyes of man, it's right in your own eyes, but not in the eyes of God. God does not accept our good works for salvation. It's only the blood, only the cross of Jesus Christ. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When I was born, from the very, even before I was born, I have the very nature of sin. Do you know that? We came in this world lying. We came in this world doing evil. We came in this world with a mind that's against God. We were born going astray, not drawing nigh to God, but going astray from God. And verse 6 says that, behold, thou desirest truth. What? What does he want? Truth where? In the inward part. You see that inward part right there? That's where the image of God is formed. The inward part, the inner man, that deep parts of man, his heart, down there. And God desired truth. And it's only God putting truth down here in the inward parts of a man that's going to change him into the image and in the likeness of God. If truth does not get down in your inward part, you still remain in sin. Thou desirest, see the desire of God. Thou desirest truth, thy word is truth. In other words, what God desires is for Jesus Christ to get down in a man's heart. That's why he accepts Jesus as his Savior. And Lord, come into my heart, Lord. The jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your house. There's got to be forgiveness of sins through belief. Believing the word of God. And behold, thou desires truth in the inward part. Notice, man has an outer part, and he has an inward part, and he has a hidden part, deep, that only the word of God gets down there. And you might forget on the outside, but deep down, there is a storage, there's a bank, there's a book that's written down there, the book of conscience that writes everything on record. And it's only the blood of Jesus Christ comes in and washes that and gives us a conscience that's void of offense. It's only the blood of Jesus can set us free from all of the sin, mistake, accusation of the devil. Then when we sin, that gives the devil access, and he accuses us, and he brings it all back. Sometimes you would like to forget, you forget. But the devil is a constant reminder of what you did yesterday, of what you did a year ago. And you're driven by this until you find the grace of God that bringeth salvation. That grace that has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, unworthy lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this world. Behold, God desires truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Notice, you see, the hidden part. Here's what God needs. So you're going to have a message that going where? Not just going over your head or compromising, but finding the very hidden parts. Amen. And where those sins are hidden. It's called the sin gets down there. Your sin gets down into the hidden part. And it hides. You see, and it's covered up. And nobody knows. But the Holy Ghost knows. And the devil knows. And if you repent of your sins, amen, the devil might bring it up, and your neighbor might bring it up. But thank God I'm free. Thank God you're free. Because whom the Son have set free, he's free indeed. And you're not free until Jesus set you free. Christ came to deliver us. Christ came to set us free. Christ came to give us a hope. And tonight, every one of us can repent. And even those under the sound of my voice can acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Amen. And just ahead of us, we're remembering the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Why did he die? He died not for himself, but he died for us. He came not to save himself, but to save us from our sins. Amen. He came as a redeemer, as a deliverer. And we can say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to all men. What a savior. We were lost in sin. We were kept bound up in sin, in the prison house of sin. But oh, a savior came, and he had the keys. He had the keys of death and hell, and he got a hold of the devil. Amen. And cast him under our feet. And now tonight, he's not on top of us, but he's under our feet. And he said, I've given you power over all the powers of the devil. Amen. Whatever you bind on earth, you've got power tonight. You're free tonight. God has set you free tonight. All you have to do is acknowledge the blood and the grace of Jesus Christ, and he sets you free. Thank God for the Savior. Thank God for the cross. Thank God that Mary brought forth a son, and his name was called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Are you glad tonight? Are you feel like shouting tonight? Do you feel like saying glory tonight? Do you feel like saying, whom the Son of God have set free, he's free indeed? Instead of just sitting there in your sin and wallowing in your mistakes, why don't you see that there's a deliverer? There's deliverance in Mount Zion. And the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Behold, thou desirest truth. Where? In the inward part. So that's why you get a hold of the scripture. You come to church and let the pastor, the men of God, whoever preaches that has the truth, just fill you up. Fill up your heart with the truth, with the word of God. Daily, you've got to have that portion. The scripture says that God gives us bread daily. God gives you not just natural bread, but the spiritual bread for your soul. Give us this day our daily bread. He needs to give you something, truth in the inward parts. And let's go a little deeper. And in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Don't let the devil put nothing in the hidden part, trying to hide it from you. He thinks he can hide it from God, and then he comes back and destroy you. Do you understand that? But you've got to be an open book. Let God search you. The scripture said, search me, O Lord. Try me. Amen. And see my wicked ways. Let God come in. Let God arise in your heart. And let his enemies be scattered. Come on. Let God arise. And let his enemies be scattered. Purge. Then there's a purging. Are you with me now? There's a purging. You see, when you make a mistake or you fall, don't just sit there. But do you know what a purging is? Do you know what a purging is? There's all kind of stuff blocked up inside of us spiritually. That you take something naturally to loose those organs and get those systems working. Well, you need the blood, you need the cross, you need the word of God. And if you will begin to take, listen, if you will begin to take some of these and get them down in your heart, you're going to find that you will be running for Christ pretty soon, because you've got to move. Purge me. There's going to be a purging in your soul. But, a lot of us, we're blocked up spiritually because we need to come to the purger. We need to come, and the blood of Jesus Christ purges us. Hey, when last have you been purged? But you're blocked up by the things of the world. Is it congested, blocked up? Give me a word. When you're bound and you're bind and you're not loose. I'm talking about every one of us. I'm talking about you tonight. Amen. Under the sound of my voice, that every one of us need a purging. And it's only the word of Jesus Christ that can purge us and set us free. purge me with hyssop. They took the broom hyssop and dipped it in the blood and daubed it over the doorpost. And I shall be clean. That's the only way you're going to be clean when you come to the fountain. The Bible said in Zechariah that in that day, there will be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. That fountain is open tonight. Purge me. Then look, don't jump out of the tub. Yeah, stay in the fountain. Don't jump out of the fountain. Wash me. Scrub me. Get the dirt. Go to the places. God will touch those areas that you would not go to. You know those hidden areas that you cover it over, that we cover it over, and we don't want nobody to go there. You know what I'm talking about. Those secret sins, those areas that's hidden in your life that you cover it over. It's called the hidden part, and you hide it. Oh, nobody knows, but it's there. There's a hidden part inside of us that nobody knows, that we've got to let the almighty word of God get down there and surge us and purge us and let the word of God. Don't put up a roadblock. When the Holy Ghost is working, open up to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let God in. And he said, purge me. Listen to what I'm saying. Purge me. Purge me. You know, when the Holy Ghost wanted to deal with us, and we said, that's not us. Yes, it's you. And we got distracted. Don't be distracted. You can't get away from it. And we try to distract, you know, and turn it off and go on and wait until the word of God move on. Then we come back, you know, but it's still there. Don't do that. No one can deceive God. No one. There's a purging that we need to go through, a cleansing, a repentance. When you acknowledge your transgression, what God does. He comes with the big old wash basin and the scrub brush, and he comes with the bar of soap and whatever, the blood. This time it's the blood. And he said, jump in the fountain. Get in there. Said, you're feeling clean in the natural, but no, get in that tub. And he himself, notice, it's himself that's going to do the washing. Because your friends won't do it good. They'll compromise. Your pastor might even compromise. So the Lord said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. You know why? You know why the pastor doesn't do it? Because he might have favorites and compromise. But Jesus has no favorite. So Jesus said, get there in the fountain. And I'm going to be the one to wash you. And when he washed you, he leaves no stone unturned. But he will wash you. Listen. He will wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because your mama might cover for you. And your husband or your wife. Or whoever might cover you for you. Your children. But God's not going to cover for everybody. Because there's no respect to a person. So what God says, repent, is the requirement to being the first resurrection. To be in the kingdom of God, there must be repentance and forsaking it. Repentance, but we go right back into it. That's not true repentance. You have to repent and forsake it. Amen. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be, notice, whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, that's your wedding garment. It's going to give you white robes, was given unto them. Next verse, make me to hear joy. See what's going to, joy is going to break through now. Before, you couldn't lift your head up in church. You ever go to church and somebody always hanging their head down like a unwatered plant? But I have hope for you tonight. Lift up the heads that hang down. Or you can't look straight. You can't look in the eyes of anybody because you're guilty. Because of hidden secret in the secret parts, the hidden parts. And then it surfaces. When it's time for you to do something for God, it surfaces and said, aha, don't forget I'm here now. And right away. See? You don't have that anointing like, or that joy like you used to. But he says, there's hope. Make me, listen, to hear it. I remember that sound. Remember? That sound. I remember one time when I loved God, first got saved, accepted Jesus, I heard a sound. Now, Lord, restore it. When I go to church, let me hear the sound. Make me to hear it. Joy and gladness. Not only did I hear the sound, but I feel like clapping my hands now. One time you couldn't clap your hands because you're living under condemnation. But tonight I feel like shouting. Tonight I feel like praising God. I heard joy and I have gladness. Guess what's going to happen? Not the bones. That's the relationship where bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. But the bones that thou hast broken. That relationship may rejoice. You know why? Because there's nothing between you and the Lord. He washed it away. He removed it. That broken relationship. Verse 9. And guess what? Before you were hiding, you don't want to see him. But now, make me to, next verse. Hide thy face from my sins. Guess what he did? Hide your face, Lord. Don't even look upon it. Hide your face from my sins. When you see me, you don't see sin. That's terrible. When God sees you, all he sees is sin. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of mine iniquity. Then here's the work, what he does. Do you see what you're doing? You got to repent, make the changes. It's not that, he's not going to create a new heart in us where we don't repent. Or there's no way around it. You see the steps of repentance and then creating me. How does it happen? He calls you to hear joy and gladness. And the bones, the relationship is healed. And now what is he doing? He's going to take away that image, that old image, the Adamic image. My God. So you're not awake in that image. It's gone. Thank God it's over. And you're a new man. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God. And renew a right spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. But he took, listen, that what he does, he purges that old spirit that you had, the broken relationship, and renew a right spirit. What right spirit? The Holy Spirit working in your spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons and children and daughters of God. Verse 11 says, cast me not away from thy presence. That means don't send me to the final resurrection. That's out of the presence of God. Don't cast me away. Don't cast me away from that, from your presence. When I awake, let me awake in your likeness. Don't despise the image that I resurrect with. It's called resurrecting, the resurrection of damnation. There's a resurrection both of the just and the unjust. Let me come up in the blessed resurrection. Don't cast me away from your presence. At the end, at the white throne judgment, don't cast me away. But I want to be in the first resurrection. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not, listen. Take not what? The Holy Spirit from me. I want the Spirit of God. I want to feel it. I want your anointing. I want the joy of God. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Verse 12. Restore. See, there's a restoration. Restoration. Restore. unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me. Notice here, you give yourself to him and let him carry you. As long as you're carrying yourself, you're going to fall. But you commit all your ways to the Lord and acknowledge your transgressions, and he will direct your path. And uphold me with thy free spirit. It's free. It's not for sale. It's free. It gives you freely. And when all this has happened, somebody said, why don't you go out and witness and evangelize? All right, let's put you before this and see if you qualify. Because if the blind lead the blind, well, if I need repentance, I'm going to lead you to repentance. If I need forgiveness, first I've got to ask forgiveness and get it straightened out, and God will do it. Then will I teach, notice, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. You got to taste the, taste and see. You've got to taste the word and experience for yourself. And then sinners will be converted unto thee. Deliver me from bloodlessness. Remember, he slew a man. Deliver me. O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue. Look, what? How do you sing? You know what to you? You sit there, your mouth closed, you can't even open your mouth. I say, praise the Lord. No. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Not, you know, just sit there, baby, can you hear me? Well, I'm meditating. Do it at home. But you come to the church, you make a joyful noise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, and into his courts with praise. Oh, Lord. Open thou my lips. See that, Lord? I didn't have nothing to say, but because I was living in condemnation and bound up, the devil had me bound. But I hear the sound of joy and gladness, and open my lips. Because sometimes you clap your hands, but your mouth is closed. But Lord, I want my mouth to be open. And my mouth shall show forth thy praises. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise the Lord. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give thee. All right, sacrifice. Somebody said, well, I clean the church. I do something for the church. I was here yesterday cleaning. But yes, but that doesn't pardon your sin. It's repentance. Not cleaning the church. That's good. You should. And that's good. Well, I pay my tithe. Yes, but that doesn't pardon your sins. I want you to get that straight now. Good works doesn't pardon your sins. It's only one way, and it's the blood. Don't go around it. There's no other way. Well, what happened to my good work? Well, what happened to them? You answer the question. If it keeps you, if it cannot get you in the image of God, what happened to you? Good works are good, but it doesn't give you forgiveness of sins. For thou desirest not sacrifice. See, there it is. Else, I'll give you my whole paycheck. But it can. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifice, here it is, it's clear. What is it? The sacrifice of God or a broken spirit. Oh God, please, will you forgive me? That's a broken spirit. In other words, you open up the deep, secret, inner place of your heart and let the Holy Ghost go down there. Are you listening? And I'm talking to everybody here. Don't, but it's not me, it's my neighbor. No, it's you. the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. You know, when that spirit is broken, you can deal. But if not, that's stubborn. Child don't do that, and they do exactly that. That's not broken spirit. It's not broken spirit. Or we are broken after we do it. And then we do it again, and then we are broken after we do it. And then we do it again, and then we are broken after we do it. That's not a broken spirit. Have you seen somebody? They get a bone broken, and they keep breaking it. I keep breaking the same bone, the same, so I keep breaking it. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. When you get down, you really mean it. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't be broken and watching. As the earth turns. Or the old and restless. Or everyone in a family. You got to sometimes just turn off. And turn the phone off. You can be, what were you doing? Well, I was just here repenting of my sins. Oh. Could you call me back when I get it over with? Yeah. Then the phone goes again. What were you doing? Are you busy? No, not that busy. I'm just repenting. And while you're repenting, you remember you got a text. You can't. You got to put away that phone. You know, we talk about fasting, but sometimes we need to fast from these equipments. But I got a favorite. You gotta turn off. And like the Sister Linda used that scripture, who have I in heaven but you? You are my desire in heaven and earth. When you begin to draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou, look at it. Look at it. Thou wilt not what? Despise. See that word? Despise. See what he's not going to be despised. But. How many more verses left there? Two, and I'll come back here. The next verse says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Next verse. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness and burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Go back to that verse. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not what? Despise. Hold your finger there and go to Psalms chapter 73, verse 20. Go right there now. Psalms. Look at Psalm 73, verse 20. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, here's what he's going to do. Thou shalt despise their image. You remember the sacrifice of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. That's the image that God wants us to raise up with. That's the image of the new man, the kingdom order, the resurrection of the dead. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, he'll take away the despised image and give us a glorious image like unto himself. And that's the image that God will not despise. That's the image that God will not despise. Otherwise, if you awake in the image of the first Adam, he will despise that. But David said in Psalms 17:15, I think, as for me, I will behold your face. How? How are you going to do it? In righteousness. So you have to be resurrected in the righteousness of Christ. Closing it. I will behold your face in righteousness. And I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. So here, you're going to be satisfied when you awake like him, looking like him, acting like him, feeling like him, thinking like him. And he's going to be satisfied also with you. So the image of God, the image of God, the first resurrection, the coming kingdom, present an image like his glorious image where God is satisfied and you are also satisfied. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Praise.